So we...Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty...
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 32, An Affirmation. Monday, March 31st, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Yinhu Chaoyuan, Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode can be found on my website, yarns@yinhu.com. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Ravelry as Sarah Pomegranate. This week's episode includes the following segments: ever-expanding skill set, double happiness, and gratitude journal. This week, I'd like to say hello to B Star Stuff, who is Mary Ellen from Galloway, Ohio. I'd also like to congratulate X Farm Girl, who is Linda from Delaware. Linda is the winner of the March Spices contest for her post about chai tea. Linda, get in touch with me to talk about your prize for the month of March. Our bulk bins cook-along continues in April with rice in the spotlight. Hopefully you will take the time to explore the bulk bins in your local supermarket or health food store and pick out something new and interesting. Perhaps try some new recipes, share them on the Ravelry board, and post your culinary adventures and photographs as well. For ever-expanding skill set this week, I'd like to talk a little bit about a spice-laden recipe that I make quite frequently here at Yinhu. It is a version of a South African dish called bobotie, and it's a kind of spiced meatloaf. Here in the United States, it's not typical to find fruits and nuts combined with meats. That is very popular in some other cuisines of the world, but Americans tend not to favor those combinations. This bobotie recipe features both fruit and nuts combined with meat. In my case, I use ground turkey for my bobotie. And traditionally, the recipe is topped with a custard-like combination of eggs and milk. I prefer to put the eggs and milk in the meatloaf to make it very tender and soft, and I top it with homemade or store-bought barbecue sauce. I have posted the recipe on the blog and in the Ravelry board. And the general idea of the recipe is you take ground turkey, a small chopped onion, which has been sautéed, and you mix those ingredients together with some stale bread, which has been toasted and cubed, some chopped dried apricots and chopped blanched almonds, as well as a variety of spices, including cumin, coriander seed, turmeric, and I use some salt, and I also use lemon peel powder. I add a little bit of chutney or some kind of fruit jam. This time I used some fig jam. Chutney would be very typical. And I also add 2 eggs and some milk. And the mixture is incredibly soft when it goes into the pan, but it makes for a very moist and delicious meatloaf. I prefer to use 2 small loaf pans rather than 1 large one. And this allows us to eat one of the loaves and the other one I freeze. This meatloaf freezes extremely well. Bobotie is kind of a staple in our house. I never was very interested or excited about meatloaf until I came across this recipe, and it has endured endless variations. So in writing it up, I tried to think about the basic ingredients that would have the widest appeal and give the best idea of what the dish is like. But of course, the improvisational cook will riff on this recipe endlessly and come up with some interesting flavor combinations. Double happiness. This week, I do not have very much knitting to share. I have been very busy with a number of other obligations and activities. I was away at the beginning of the weekend. So I hope you'll forgive me for this shorter episode. I do have some interesting developments in terms of future plans. And one of those is that I will be going to the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival for Saturday only. And I have begun some preparations to have a great time at the festival. And one of those things is that I have placed a new order for Yarns at Yinhu buttons. I hope that if you are a fan of the show and you are lucky enough to travel to the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival, you will come say hi if you see me. I've also, with the help of Samuel, ordered a field bag with the Yarns at Yinhu logo printed prominently on the flap. And hopefully this will allow folks to pick me out of a crowd and not have to hear me talking to know that it's me. Although I don't know if my voice is that identifiable, but maybe. I'm looking forward to meeting fans of the show and maybe meeting some potential new fans and talking with you and seeing what you're wearing and what you're purchasing. And to help fuel my excitement, I have started a little contest. So a few episodes ago, I talked about the fact that I was the winner. I was the valedictorian of the February graduating class on the U University podcast. And Chris, Dr. Kelly of the show, sent me a very beautifully made project bag from Halsey R Knitting Accessories, which is her shop. She also sent along, very generously, an additional project bag for a Yarns at Yinhu listener. So I thought a little bit about how I would like to use this bag as a giveaway, and I thought I would launch a contest that will begin now. In fact, a few people have already posted suggestions on the Ravelry thread, and will close just before I leave for the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival. I will not be doing a lot of shopping at the festival. I could be doing a lot of browsing, a lot of fondling of products, but I will not be doing a lot of purchasing. The number one reason is I don't really need anything. I don't need to come home with a lot of things I've purchased, and there are a lot of other expenses and interesting things coming up in my life to spend my money on. So I'm planning on taking $30. And probably a little money for food. And my question to the Yarns at Yinhu listeners is, if I bring only $30 to Maryland Sheep and Wool, what are your recommendations for how I should spend it? I have already a couple of good suggestions, and I'm interested to see what everyone thinks. So post your idea on the Ravelry thread, and you could be the lucky winner of a Halcyon Knitting Accessories project bag. I can't post a photograph of this bag because it is very nicely wrapped in tissue paper, and I don't want to unwrap it. So I don't even know what print is on the bag, but I'm sure it's very charming because if you go ahead and look at Halcyon Knitting Accessories shop on Etsy, you can see that all of the fabrics Chris uses for her bags are really adorable. So I'm sure it's something you will enjoy. I look forward to your posts and encourage you to enter the contest. Gratitude Journal. I don't know about you, but I feel like one of the biggest contributors to my feeling of success and well-being as an adult has been some incredibly valuable mentors in my life. And as I grow older, one of the things that makes me wistful, I suppose, is that there become fewer mentors in my life. And the expectation is more and more that as we age, we will serve as mentors for others. So it always feels like something incredible when I can identify a person who has a real wealth of knowledge and a very special gift to bestow in terms of wisdom and mentorship. Of course, the best case is when you actually know this person and have the opportunity to meet with them on a weekly or a monthly basis and absorb some of that wisdom. But sometimes mentors come to us in less obvious ways. And this week, just by chance, I was looking on Facebook and found a post by Paula of Knitting Pipeline. And it's a post that was made initially several years ago. And from time to time, it seems like it is unearthed by someone and shared on the internet, and it becomes beloved of many people. And this is a video called On Handwork. And the person who's being videoed is named Renate Hiller. I'm not actually sure of the pronunciation of her first name. It's R-E-N-A-T-E. And she is talking about the craft of spinning. At the beginning of the video, she's spinning on a very crude stone spindle. And she talks in the video, which lasts less than 5 minutes, about the importance of crafting things with our hands and how it helps us develop a capacity for empathy and creativity. And really, she makes the point about this being a necessary ingredient to our health. It is like a sermon. This video is like a sermon, and it's one of the most appealing short videos I have seen recently. And the words of Ms. Hiller have really stuck with me all week. I keep turning them over in my mind and thinking about them again and again. She is a member of the Fibercraft Studio, which is located at the Threefold Educational Center in Chestnut Ridge, New York. And this is an educational center grounded in the philosophies of Rudolf Steiner and devoted to the practical arts and certain kind of philosophy about life and the interaction between human beings. She just strikes me in the video and with her careful, measured speech. She really breaks everything down to its most essential elements. She strikes me as someone with a true wealth of wisdom. And I feel as though it is our responsibility to tap into the knowledge and the experience of people like Ms. Hiller and to think about the application of their wisdom to our own lives and our own practice. And it's becoming more and more apparent to me that making things is not only an essential ingredient to having a happy and healthful life, but it is something that we really need to put a lot of attention on and a lot of energy into, because its practice is very quickly disappearing in contemporary times. She didn't say screen time in those exact words, but she said things about our tactile experiences are becoming less and less rich when we interact with a keyboard, when we interact with the steering wheels of our cars. Our sensory and motor skills have become dulled and our abilities less in those areas because we don't have that rich experience of making and crafting things. I've put a link to this video in the show notes, and it's very easily accessible online. The title of it is On Handwork. And I encourage you to have a look, have a listen, and share this with someone you think would really be receptive to that message. In the spring, we often focus on rebirth and renewal, and I think that Ms. Hiller's message in this video is one that's appropriate for this season and a renewed examination of our lives and what's important to us. Today, more than ever, the crafts have the mission to reconnect the human being to the earth and her substances, bring healing to the senses and soul, and foster the creative capacities of the human being. Renate Hiller.
Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. Music for this episode is So Wheat. Music and lyrics by Samuel Say Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed this episode, I hope you will consider liking the show's Facebook page or writing a review or leaving a star rating on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire, just like Linda Kurtz sings, but out on a wire. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's ever get you high till your face is mine. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.